State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Yep, yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all, reloaded with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio.
Hold up.
Justin Riley.
Ho, ho. That boy hit him with my Facebook name. Hold up.
B King is in the building, y'all.
Hey, what it do?
B
what it
King.
Do?
Man, it's good to see you, bro.
Same here, man.
It's good to see you, man. It's good to see your evolution.
Appreciate that.
You, brother, have come a long ways, and that is a good thing. You know, I'm talking affirmatively. You have come a long ways in your development as an artist.
For sure.
You know,
you put the
work in. You put a lot of work in.
Yeah, I used to be mad at my path back in the day, but I appreciate it now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People who come out real hard in the beginning, they fall real fast too, you know. So
yeah.
Mine, I had to climb the whole time, you know what I'm saying? But we up now.
Is there still any doubt from others?
No.
I know you never had any doubt, but from others.
No.
They believe now.
I wouldn't say it was ever doubt. It was, I think, for my generation, it was always a weird era we were in. You know what I'm saying? We were right after, you know, the Slim and Roe and, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And, you know, my generation is, you know, Propane, Kurt Cobain, Just Britney, Dobies. You know, our generation was more of the internet streaming Houston generation. And with us, you know, we didn't have all the major deals and everything that everybody had before us. You know, but not saying that that made that generation, you know, Houston to me always been an underground city. You know what I'm saying? But when you take that underground aspect away, the DJ Screws, the, you know, Michael Watts around, see, they still entities, but it wasn't like how the underground scene was, you know, with the mixtapes, you know, we had to come out through the internet and streaming and Twitter and, you know, stuff like that, you know. So my generation, it was, people didn't consider it traditional Houston music, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, with me, no, I don't sip syrup, I don't do drugs, you know, so in a city where everything's slow, I was the only motherfucker with energy, you know what I'm saying? My music was, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people, you know, they wouldn't consider what I did Houston music, you know, but you look at how everything sounds today from the city, everything has energy now. Everything is club, you know, club-based from Houston now, so. I can say I did that shit.
Fair to say you did that.
I did that shit.
You'll take that.
It is what it is.
Yeah. You know what? You know, to your point, after Slim and Paul Wall and everybody, you know, did that thing, you know, Millionaires and the Mike Jones and all of that, it did seem like things kind of like came to a halt almost. And so it took a long time, like, you know, to really like get that thing back. I know Travis Scott came sometime later, but you know, it was pretty much seemed like it really wasn't any real activity except for what you and maybe DJ Chose was doing.
Yeah, for sure.
It had a little buzz going on. Kurt Cobain was doing his thing. But as far as consistently hearing stuff out there, you were the guy that I heard, you know, and you, of course, Zero always putting out, but Zero is another era, but shit, Zero is all eras, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, on God, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Shout out to the homie, man.
Yeah.
But no, for sure, man, consistency, that's always been my thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, shout out to people like JQ, you know, 979, you know, he always helped me, you know what I'm saying, through the radio. You know what I'm saying, helping me pick my singles and making sure that they were radio friendly and club, you know what I'm saying, even to this day, you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, man, I'm tell people all the time, you can't compete with the rapper that make his own beats, man. Shit, I'm not going to fall off ever.
Huh. Yeah, let's talk about that, man.
Shit, man.
What is the process like to be a rapper and a producer? I've never known that process. I only known one side and the rapping side. But what's that process like and how do you mentally switch?
You know, before I get into that, I'll tell you the downside of it. The downside of it is people never truly respect you as a rapper. When people bring that Houston rapper conversation up, they always leave me out. When I've had more success than most of them, plaques, all that, you know what I'm saying? But people will never look at me as a rapper because I probably the club music and, you know, how I play on songs a lot. But when you are a producer as well, people never put Dr. Dre in that category, never really put Kanye in that category. Even David Banner's another one. Juicy J, my favorite rapper, they don't put him in that category, you know? So, you know, but for the most part, to answer your question, you know, it's one of those things where you hear music so much that, you know, it's kind of like a Prince and Michael Jackson thing. Like Michael Jackson, people love Michael Jackson for everything he did. And Michael Jackson, my favorite too. But Prince, you could put Prince in that studio by himself and he's going to come out with that hit.
Self-contained.
By himself. He made the music, everything, sung it and everything, you know. So for the most part, I think artists like me who make the beats, the music too, you hear it from the beginning to the end. You know, you don't have to look for a beat or you know, sometimes I had a beat already and then the idea come from that, or sometimes I had an idea already from being on the road or something, and I'll make the beat for the idea I have. Either way it go, it's going to be a bad motherfucker in about 30 minutes.
The beat and the rap?
Yeah.
Not the beat and the rap. You can't do the beat and the rap in 30 minutes.
Well, yeah, you can. To me, the creating part's easy. It's the mixing. Like, I mix and master all my music, too. So that's what take a week.
You did a beat. You saying that you have the propensity to make the beat and the rap within 30 minutes.
Yeah. The beat is the easy part. I can make a beat in 5 minutes. It'll be hard.
Yeah.
5 minutes. And then once the beat playing in a loop, the idea come to you, the hook, you know, you lay that hook down real quick and, you know, a club song, you don't need more than 8 bars in your verse. So, you know, I don't write that bullshit I be saying. So you go in there and freestyle 4 bars and then stop and think. Shit, you do that 3 more times, shit, the song done.
Mm-hmm. I got a theory why you don't get your respect for being a rapper.
I know where you're going with that.
Let me see if you can,
you know,
let me see if
you get lyricism, you know, it's intricate. And people, you know, they feel you should write it and it takes time, it's a thought process. Because I can really fucking rap too. People don't understand, like, that's what I'm cut from. I'm cut from, you know, Lloyd Banks and Pusha T and Joe Budden, you know, like the 02-ish, 03-ish. That's why, you know, when Swish House was like, right before they got their deal, everybody was talking about Mike Jones. I mean, I was on Magno, Magnificent, you know what I'm saying? That's who I was bumping at Swish House, you know, but what's your theory?
Well, I appreciate you, you know, giving me credit for thinking, but being a thinker, but it ain't that deep. I think the reason why you don't get your respect as a rapper is because your name is Beat King.
Well, yeah.
People think of you as a producer, so you're making beats. So maybe you change your name to Rap King.
I don't want to smoke with that.
And you'll get your credit as a rapper.
You know, and then, at the end of the day,
maybe that's the name of one of your new albums or something.
Rap King.
You know,
at the end of the day, man, I don't give a fuck either, Willie D.
Yeah.
I don't. Juicy J is my idol and mentor. I always wanted to be just like him. You know, when shit going on in my career.
But Juicy J, he don't make beats.
He made all that 3-6 Mafia shit. Him and DJ Paul were making the beats today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought DJ Paul was doing all of them.
Juicy J, they were doing it together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Juicy J, he's a DJ and a producer. You know, so a lot of those big 3-6 Mafia hits.
All right, more respect for Juicy J, man. I ain't know. I already had respect for him, but more respect.
But you know what's crazy? I see what they don't give him, so I can't expect for them to give it to me. They just did a top 50 rappers list. 3-6 Mafia was nowhere on that list when the game sounds like them today. Hmm. Even Project Pat wasn't on there. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, you know.
Shit, I wasn't on the list. Man, I wrote most of the GB music.
But you know what's crazy,
though? Hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. Ghetto Boys is in most people's top 5, 10, 20, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
If I wrote most of the music, you know, if I wrote most of the songs, the majority of the music,
but
I gotta
know,
be somewhere, man. I gotta be somewhere on some kind of list or
you
something.
You know what? In a fucked up ass way, you're probably not gonna like this. Just like how Pimp C wasn't on there, but Bun was on there. So we look at it like, all right, Pimp C on there, because Bun on there. If you see Face on there, you're like, all right, that's Ghetto Boy. That's the whole conglomerate. That's how I looked at it. They couldn't put groups on there.
Let me get you some goddamn glasses, brother. I need my goddamn credit, man. When we start busting up publishing checks.
On God.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man,
that publishing check, that Scarface publishing check, go to Brad Jordan. My publishing check say W. Dennis. B. Jordan. You dig what I'm saying?
I
need mine, man. I need all of mine.
You know, it come with it, bro. We just got to die and shit. That should be lame. You know what I'm saying? Once we die, And like, oh man, Willie D was a genius.
Why'd he do us like that, man?
He had motherfucking mind playing tricks on you. He had bald head, ho. Man.
Why'd he do us like that, man?
It be like that, man. People don't want to give it to you when you hear. They got to stand on that when you hear. They don't. When you gone, they can be like, oh man, he gone, man. Now I can say it. Cause,
ain't that something?
You know what I'm saying? It be like that. You know, I've went through that my whole career. So I'm used to it.
You know, it's like that wearing shirts also. Like if you wear the shirts of a deceased rapper, like when a rapper is alive, you hardly ever catch another rapper wearing his shirt.
Hip hop is masculine.
But the moment he dies.
Hip hop is masculine. You know what's almost the opposite of hip hop? The word gay. I'm telling you, like hip hop is so masculine. It's like I could do a show. And if it's some other rappers in there, they'll be like, as soon as I leave, man, that nigga BK be making them hoes. That nigga, I fuck with that nigga shit. They'll never tell me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like in a room where everybody want to be alpha and masculine shit, they not going to wear no shirt of somebody that's alive. But if he die, I mean, I could wear it now, shit, because I fucked with that nigga shit. Just like,
but is that masculine? Is that masculinity or is that insecurity?
It's insecurity. Insecurity. My big sister just passed away, Gangsta Boo. You know what I'm saying? And
wow, shouts out to Gangsta Boo. Yeah. Beautiful spirit.
R.I.P. Lola, that was my dog. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We talk like every damn week. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all did a lot of work together too, right?
Yeah, and we always.
Did you work on a new album? Sorry to cut you off. Did you work on a new album?
I don't even know if that's real. I'm just being 100. I'm seeing all these blogs post. She got this, what's called Prometheus, when they have an album after they pass, some album coming out.
Posthumous,
yeah.
Well, posthumous.
Well, however posthumous, you say it.
Posthumous, yeah.
I don't know nothing about that. You know what I'm saying? They saying Juicy J ain't working on no Gangsta Boo album. Mm-hmm. I'm not working on gang. And I got enough shit in my hard drive to drop a whole album. You know what I'm saying? Because we recorded a lot of stuff that never came out. You know what I'm saying? But got off topic. We talked a lot about respect and everything and how people, like how she would hear a lot of her flow and a lot of the women today and a lot of them, they
never gave credit.
And when she passed away, I watching all these rappers and say they loved her. And I'm like, I just wish she could have saw that. Because we would joke about that shit, you know what I'm saying? Because Gangsta Boo, she was an asshole. Like, if you knew her, she was a very nice, sweet person, but she was an asshole, you know what I'm saying? So she would be roasting a lot of these bitches and shit, a lot of motherfuckers. And you know, things I'd never repeat, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, she would, I wish she could see how much people fucked with her, you know what I'm saying? Like, straight up, because her DNA is in a lot of the flow for the women. And I feel like I'm, in a way, I'm a female rapper, man. Like, this just be 100, the music I make, you know what I'm saying? The, how women gravitate toward it and all that, you know. It is what it is. You know, being a female rapper, bro.
You know
what I'm saying?
I was just thinking about something. You know when our content guys get a hold of this thing to put it up on social media, they
that's
gonna
be
gonna
a
say,
motherfucking B King is a B-King, that's gonna be the caption.
B King
gotta make them click it. Gotta make them click it.
He's a female rapper.
Hey man, it is what it is, man. You look at like the female rap scene from Texas. It's all club music. They all was listening to Beat King when they was 15, 14, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't gonna say no name. When you get to saying names, people take it the wrong way and think you're trying to take credit for somebody's success. And I never do that. We all work real hard to get to where we at, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And I know what I influenced. You know, so, and I'm still here. You know, I ain't like one of the niggas that fell off. Like, man, y'all know y'all was listening to me. And I got the money. I got the love, the respect, all that, you know, so I can look at the game now and be like, man, that's dope. That's dope.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break. Mm-hmm.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
King of the Clubs 2 mixtape. Uh-huh. You put that out, what, 2010?
That was 2010.
So that was pretty much our introduction to you. And
as an artist, the year before that, my first hit was with Candy Red, independent bitches get up on the dance.
Okay.
Work. I made that beat. And from there, people was introduced to my sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. And for a long time, man, you were bubbling. And then when you dropped that Then Leave.
Yeah.
How did that feel, man?
It felt like everybody was like, oh, man, this is dope. You finally own. And I'm just like, man, look. To me, it was more like a about time feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lot of people who were just discovering, I guess it was celebratory for them. To me, I'm like, I've been getting this money. Been having big houses. Been performing at these radio events all around the country, these stadiums. I've been doing this. It's just people didn't put the face with the music. I say when the cucumber shit, when I came up with that, that started helping my likeness and people started knowing what I looked like. I had the whole green hair and all. I was real retarded with it back then. But when a song like that comes out, it puts it all together, you know, and for, you know, a lot of new fans, you know, they came around in 2020 during the pandemic and they was like, man, this new guy, B-King, this is dope.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been out here for 10 years before that. You know what I'm saying? And it's nothing like a fan finding out they're late to the party. They're like, oh, shit. They get on Apple Music, start looking up all the old shit and like, damn, wait, he made that? Wait, he made Throw That Ass? Wait, he made, because a lot of these songs that blew up, they just really remakes of what I've done already. You got to take a song like Then Leave. Me and Queendom Come, we made that already. A song we have called You Ain't About That Life, oh. Same formula. Slow-ass, mm-hmm. simple-ass beat. Girl on the hook. Take a song like what me and DJ Chose did with Thick. Thick. We made that already. It's called Throw That Ass. Hold up, bitch. Throw That Ass. You know, so when you around long enough, you're going to recycle your shit. And you know, when I got popping, a lot of those new fans, they went to discovering all the older music and they put it back on TikTok today. And a lot of these older songs from my catalog, they're turning up today. And I'm looking at Spotify numbers and they're going up. I'm just like, man, this shit's old as fuck. These kids were probably 7 years old when these songs first came out. Now they 20 years old and it's new to them. So it is what it is.
Would you think it's fair to say, is it a fair assessment to say that your primary formula, your main ingredient is to keep it simple?
Yeah. Simplicity sells.
Yeah.
I learned that, and that wasn't an easy transition either, because where I come from, I call myself a young old nigga. I'm 38 years old, you know, so I know all about Ghetto Boys catalog. I know about Willie D's catalog, but I also know about K Carbon out of Memphis right now. I know about the youngest motherfuckers right now, and I know about the OGs. So it's like the shit I'm cut from, I know what real music is. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm making beats, I want to pack it full of shit, let people know that I'm just that nigga. And I had to learn that people don't give a fuck. Make what's appeasing to the ear and what people can listen to and feel good. And it hits their brain quickly. You know what I'm saying? So I start making these simple ass beats. Hey, I just start taking all the sounds out and just putting drums in that motherfucker. That's Then Leave, number drums. You know what I'm saying? Just switch the drums up for the verse. Doom, doom, doom. You know? Yeah. You know, so with the beats, that wasn't an easy transition. And I'm a lyrical person. I can really rap if I want to. But I had to learn that bitches don't want to learn trigonometry in the club.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Just make a simple beat that a drunk bitch will like and put a hook on it that a drunk bitch will like and you're going to win every summer.
Huh. Man, let's go back to the early summers. Where does B-King originate? Like, where did you grow up?
I'm from Studiwood.
Studiwood.
North side, right next to Eckes Home.
Okay.
That's
in the Houston area.
Yeah, north side, okay. It's Houston area. Yeah. And
You know, I got a partner named Swift. He's a lawyer. We call him Swift.
Okay.
That was his hood name, Swift.
Okay.
But he's a lawyer now. And every time we talk about Fifth Ward and Studi Wood, I always say no good Studi Wood.
Hey, man. And motherfucking let me jump you ass Fifth Ward, goddamn. Shit. Y'all motherfuckers coming to Booker T trying to jump niggas and shit. Man, we not going for that shit. We don't come to what's the high school at Fifth Ward? Start with a W.
Worthy on this side.
It's
with a W.
I can't. I'm trying to remember.
What area?
I went to high school in Fifth Ward. It was an alternative school. I went there for like 2 years.
What area on the north side?
Right off the freeway. What's that fucking Wheatley?
Oh, Wheatley. Yeah.
Yeah, we ain't come to Wheatley with smoke and shit. You know what I'm saying? But
One time, I'm going to tell you a quick story and we can get back on track. But one time we riding in the car and, you know, he was a little cheap dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted me to pay him for gas to go get my car. I had to go pick up my car from the shop. So he wanted me to give him some gas money. So I was like, man, you charging me for gas? He's like, yeah, man. I said, okay, all right. So I put...
You did some finessing ass Fifth Ward shit.
So I put $20 on the console. So I put $20 on the console. And at $20, he left it there, right? So when I got out the car to go get in my car,
mm-hmm.
I took the 20 back. I took the 20 back.
Hey, man, that's how
so
I do.
I drive off, right? So once I get down the street, he called me. He say, man, old Fifth Ward ass shit you just did.
Bruh, I'm the same way. It don't matter how much, how successful I may get or money I may make. I'm still cheap, my nigga. Like, I still go to the club. I hate paying to park. That's my pet peeve.
Oh,
like,
man.
I feel like I'm paying to cut my car off.
Oh, man. Let's
like,
talk
I hate
about
paying
that.
To park. You know, so I go to valet. I give them what they $50 or whatever and go to the club. Come back and be like, man, they didn't let me in, man. Dress code, man, so I can get a refund back, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I just hate paying to park.
Yeah. But why do you think they get away with that, though?
Hey, man, everybody got to eat. I respect it.
You respect it?
It's just, I'm a hustler too, so I feel like you trying to charge me to cut my car off.
You know what I don't like? I don't like, man, I don't like the fact that they do it to black people. Like, I think there's a bias because I go to white establishments also, and they don't do that. They don't gouge like that. Like, you go to a white establishment in Houston, at least.
I just hate when they try to run game on you. Like,
yeah.
I get to the parking lot. I'd be like, nah, I'm cool with the owner. Well, the owner doesn't run the parking lot. It's two different entities. The parking lot is owned by somebody. How, nigga? How? But it is what it is, and they're going to eat off that. And if you driving them cars, them real cars, you're going to pay that. You're going to park in the back.
Let me finish my point I was going to make first.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saying that, you know, white establishments or any other establishment, you know, the most you'll probably pay to park is primarily
about
white
20.
Establishments, but it's probably $20. But when it come to a spot that's primarily black patrons, man, you talking $20 to park in the back, you know? And so everything is depending on your car, the car that you're driving depends on how high they go.
You pull up.
So I just bought my son a wagon, right? So I told my son.
He dropping 100 if he's going to the club.
Yeah, I told him. I said, you got your valet, your money ready? Because they going to hit you up. Every time you valet, you finna pay $100.
At least $100.
At least $100.
And that's Houston price.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, you getting hit.
Yeah. Man.
You know what I'm saying? Or like All-Star happening or something, some game or something, something going on in town.
I be feeling disrespected, though, bro. I feel disrespected.
I hate paying the park.
You know, I don't.
And I have thousands of dollars in my pocket.
Yeah.
I try to talk them down.
What I don't like, dog, is that the fact that they bias. Like I say, I go to the other establishments and they don't do that. But they do it to us. And I, you know, we know.
Hey, man, back when I was broke, I used to give them counterfeit money. Hey, you know.
So you feel like fire exchange ain't robbery. They trying to get you. Like, yeah, you say, everybody
let me hustle you too.
Yeah.
Back in my club.
But I guess, you know, I guess you can't blame them, right?
Back in my club, 8 Mile days.
Yeah. I guess you can't blame them if black people are dumb enough to pay the price, then, you know, hey, it is what it is, huh?
Man, at the end of the day, niggas is going to pay that shit because they want their car in the front anyway so they can get them bitches.
You know, I think it's bigger than that. I know that when I valet because I want my car to be safe.
I valet for safety too.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to come out and some fool broke my window and I got the inconvenience of paying for, even though it's not, it's a little money just to fix a window, but it's the inconvenience.
And they know that.
And ain't going to be nothing. They ain't going to steal nothing out of the car. I never keep any valuables in my car, so that I never get anything out of it, but it's just the inconvenience.
But see, that's just niggas. Not niggas, it's just black people. Because you'll go to a black restaurant and four wings and a soda is $80.
Plus tax.
and you just paid $50 to park.
And tax, gratuity, and extra gratuity.
And you done paid $100 to park. You done dropped $200 for three wings. Yeah. You just like trying to support black people. Just it is what it is, you know? So
that's a cold game right there, man.
I wouldn't know anything about chicken wings, though. I've just lost 33 pounds, so yeah.
33 pounds?
Yeah. On God. Shit.
33 pounds, man. What's your weight target?
I ain't trying to be skinny, man. I wouldn't even be attractive skinny. I couldn't even be skinny. I'm just trying to lose about 30 more pounds, and I'll be good.
Yeah?
I'll be good, man. I just want to be healthier, man. I feel better. You know, I can perform on stage better.
You feel
better.
More confident,
you know, you start knocking on that 40 door, your body start doing weird shit. Your teeth start falling out.
Your teeth are not going to fall out for no reason.
Well, yeah, if you ate candy your whole life, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ate candy and drink soda and all that, and, you know, you start getting these high blood pressure headaches for no reason, and your heart start doing that little jumping bullshit and you laying down. You ain't even doing nothing. You just laying down and your heart beating fast. You're like, nah, man, I ain't get to this point in this success to die. What was it for? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let me try to do something about it. You know, so I hate going to the gym. So I bought everything in the garage. So I lift weights 3 times a week and I try to walk for 1 hour every day. You know what I'm saying? And I changed my eating habits too. And that's how I did it.
How were you growing up? Like, you grew up with your mom and dad? What was the family dynamic?
It was me and my mom. My little brother came when I was around 9, you know. But I was the only child to like 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in Studiewood, small-ass house in the hood. That's probably why I am scared of roaches to this day. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter how clean your house was. If your house was on bricks, like, you was going to see roaches and rats. There's no way around that shit. But, yeah. But I say I wasn't no gangster, though. Like, my mom was a good person. She raised me the right way, you know. So all my partners that was gangsters and shit, I peep going to their house and seeing how their mama was or their daddy was. And I'm like, all right, that's why I ain't like y'all. I ain't hating or nothing because, shit, we going to beat somebody up together, you know. But, yeah, y'all niggas savage. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm
saying?
Man,
you know you need to be in the movies, right?
Hey, man.
You got it, bro. You got that persona, man. It's like,
shit,
you
know, it is what it
savage.
Is.
I'm not.
I tell niggas all day, I'm a hood nigga. I ain't no gangster, though. Like, you know, ain't nothing wrong with being a gangster. You know, some people ain't got, they just going to be a gangster. That's what they have to be.
I don't know. I think a better message is it is something wrong with being a gangster because the gangster, the lifestyle, you know, and I've been a gangster, you know, like the gangster lifestyle doesn't have a great retirement plan.
But you know what? You speaking from a nigga that made it to the retirement plan. See, when you younger, the bitches only want the gangster niggas. Younger women, you know what I'm saying? That nice guy is not getting no pussy at all. But that gangster that's going to juvenile and shit and all that, he's fucking all the bitches in the apartments.
Well, it's about being rebellious, I think. I think young people, the youth, want just by nature rebellious. And that's no matter what generation that is, it transcends generations.
No, for sure.
Young people just like rebellion. And that's why when they get to be a certain age, they go trying to clean up everything.
Yeah, because that shit, they got a time limit on it, man. You can't do that shit forever, man. And then you're going to run to a nigga that's about that, just like you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What happened then? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because your reputation precedes you also. Mm-hmm. So it's somebody, while you being active, it's somebody watching you being active. And they're thinking like, yeah, sooner or later he's going to try me. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to deal with that guy. And they already know how to deal with you.
They already plotting on you.
Yeah,
shit,
because
you know
they've been watching you be active.
Yeah, man.
So did you get into any fights as a kid?
Yeah. I got into a lot of fights as a kid.
And what were these fights primarily over?
These fights, man, disrespect, the number one thing for niggas. You know, somebody playing with you.
How are they disrespecting you?
You know, people, you know, niggas just going to fuck with you. They going to try you. Maybe we ain't got money like that and everybody got Jordans, but I got Jordash. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, everybody, you know what I'm saying, they mama taking them to the mall to get their school clothes and I had to go to Wieners. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. You know
you
what I'm saying?
You still did so. Better than me. We had to go. We had to.
Wieners was lit. So Wieners.
We had Wieners sometimes, but other times, and for those of you who don't know, Wieners was a department store. But you know, there were other times we had to use vouchers, man. Mm. We had to use vouchers and go to like Salvation Army and all that kind of stuff.
I went through that. You'd be lucky you find some nice shoes in Salvation Army.
Well, they have brand new things now. They got brand new.
Yeah, it's lit now. Yeah. It's just like how food stamps is today. Back in the day, you could not get no name brand shit.
Yeah.
Before we had to get that shit at the bottom, you had to get Apple Dapples, not Apple Jacks. You know what I'm saying? Right. But today, you can ball out with a motherfucking with food stamps today.
You could buy anything, man. I was in the store a couple of weeks ago and I saw, what is the EBT card, I think it's called, where it was showing that you could buy like lobster and
shit.
And all that kind of stuff. I was like,
yeah, shit different. I remember, I don't know how it is now, but I remember them food stamps. I think the $1 food stamp was gray, the $5 one was brown and shit. And this shit looked like Monopoly money to me. I thought this shit was actually fly. I said, well, we don't need real money. We can use this shit. That shit, all right, bet. But when she was like, we can't get Kraft cheese, we have to get this trash ass cheese. I was like, okay, I don't like this shit no more.
Were you ever in the store with the food stamps and waited for somebody to leave? Waited till other people left the store.
My mom, she didn't care like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, you never went to the store with food stamps?
Well, I would stand next to her when she did it. You know what I'm saying?
You got off easy.
Yeah, I ain't.
You got off easy. My mama used to send us to the store with the food stamps. And so we got the food stamps and we're waiting, so we try to spend the food stamps quickly before somebody comes in the store who recognizes us.
I think my mama tried. I don't think they later on, they wouldn't let kids do it.
Yeah?
I think my mama tried to have me do that at Kroger's one time. Now, what was the shit? Apple Tree back then.
Now, for any of you out there who might be on some BS, my mama worked. So we had welfare to subsidize her income. My mama worked 5 days a week for the Houston Independent School District as a cook. So
you know
what's
crazy, though? My mom was a teacher. She worked for HISD. Yep. And we were still broke. That's when it would hit me. Like, I remember being like in middle school, like, college ain't all that. It's dope if it's a two income household, but my mama got two kids, a master's degree, and is a teacher, and we still broke.
Well, y'all broke. Or we y'all wasn't just struggling.
We wasn't. I say this because she worked her ass off. She would teach during the week. She was a real estate agent. She played piano at church, three different churches on Sundays to get three different checks from three different churches. You know, so she brought a lot of money in, but it just wasn't enough like that. You know what I'm saying? She always, now I'm like, I know she ain't had no drug habit. I know she wasn't tricking. I know she wasn't doing none of that. But for the most part, she always, and with my child support money, my little brother's child support money, it was just always just enough for the bills and the car note and a light bill. And, you know, yeah.
Did any of the utilities ever get turned off?
No.
Did y'all ever get evicted?
No.
Shit, y'all rich, but y'all was good. You did, like, you know, mama did good. How many of you was it?
It was two. It was two.
Just two?
Like, I never tried to discredit her. Like, we was just fucked up. But I think my mama understood the system. She was like, all right, well, I can get these food stamps over here. So that frees up this money for this. If I play piano at these churches, then that'll be the food money for the week. If I can sell a house here and there, then maybe he can get some Jordans or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would be in the hood, but I had Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, and all that.
Man.
Yeah.
You had it easy.
Everybody
man.
Came
you
to my
had,
house. It was
You
it
had called, the good life.
They called
man.
My house
you
the arcade.
You didn't miss no meals. Y'all didn't get the phone turned off. That's why I tell people that there are good people in that are in the hood who are law-abiding citizens who work every day and who are just genuinely good people. I know a lot of, and there are more of those type of people in the hood than there are not.
For sure, for sure.
But you know how they like to spin the narrative.
Yeah, that shit always been goofy to me. Like, my thing is, I'm from the hood. We were broke, but my mom made sure that I didn't notice it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know we'd be moving from here to here and, you know what I'm saying, and certain things that happen and all that. But for the most part, she tried to make sure I had things that I wanted. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, I done been through hard times, but I know it's people who've had it way worse. Way worse. People who didn't have parents who had it all together, you know what I'm saying? So they had to go outside and do shit, you know what I'm saying? So, like I say, it's I always commend my mama for that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's probably, ain't no problem. That's where I got all my musical talent from, you know what I'm saying? She would play the piano with her.
She taught you how to play the piano?
No, I was just watching.
Just picked it up?
Just watching. It was always a piano in the house, an old piano from her grandma, you know? So she would play the piano at church. I'll play the drums, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
Yep. That follow me all the way to the band at Booker T. I'm playing the drums in the band. And yo.
Booker T. Yeah, we smash y'all on that battle of the bands.
Never.
We used to smash y'all.
Nobody could fuck with us. Nobody but Yates.
Yates?
And Yates couldn't even see us.
You know what? You know, you came at way after me. That's the only reason why. But go look up the history of Forest Brook, that band.
Oh, no, Forest Brook. Y'all wasn't on Palm
Beach.
No,
that band.
Forest Brook wasn't on Palm Beach. I'm going to say what made Forest Brook lit. Y'all were very loud. So, y'all weren't the best players.
Hell no, man.
But y'all were so loud that y'all sold that shit. So if motherfuckers come out on the field, you just like, all right, I feel that shit. Nah, y'all loud than a motherfucker. Y'all can't see me, though. Y'all can't see me, but, you know, y'all loud.
No. Forest Brook was loud, and we had... Oh man,
Forest Brook was nice though. They came.
Baddest
they
girls. Nice. I'm talking about the baddest girls, man. We Forest Brook, we had so many fine girls. Like, the girls who were petite, mm-hmm. we had but like nines and dimes on the cheerleader team. If they had a woman body, they were Jaguars, you know, mm-hmm. y'all in all the really little schools, y'all called them majorettes, but you know, we was on a different level, so we was a Jaguar, so we called our girls the Jaguarettes.
You know what's crazy? And, I went to so many high schools because I like when I turned 16, I knew I wanted to be who I ended up being, and I dropped out so many times. I just didn't want to go to school no more. I just wanted to make beats and rap and just do that, and I dropped out so many times. I would never do my work. When I got there, I did my work. I just didn't want to go. I started making beats when I was 16. I would be up to like 6, 7 in the morning. My mom would go to work before I had to leave, so I'm not finna stay up to 6 a.m. and then get dressed and go to school. I'm just gonna not go. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fuck? You know, so I would, my mom, because she worked at HISD, she could, if I'm failing at this school, take me out of there, put me in another one. You know what I'm saying? So I went to so many different high schools. And then when I moved to Titwell, that's when I went to Jersey Village. And that was Sci-Fair District. And I was just like, whoa, the bitches over here are way better. So it hit me that you had bitches that was hood bad. And then you had these bitches that had money. These bitches looked a little better than the hood bitches, and I don't get it fucked up. I love my hood bitches, but this bitch looked a little better getting out this Benz, man. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, it's a different level of hood, a different level of bad bitch over here. You know what I'm saying? But maybe I'm just used to, I always felt like the hood schools made me like ugly bitches.
The hood schools. Now explain that.
Because in the hood, most of these bitches was ugly, but they had fat asses. So you be like, damn, man, that bitch bad than a motherfucker. But when she really just had a nice ass body and shit. And hood schools, a sprinkle of them are pretty. And they either fucking with the basketball or the football niggas or some nigga in college or some other shit. Or some old ass nigga they have no business fucking with. You know what I'm saying? But 9 times out of 10, the hood, man, they just from the high school I went to and shit, at Booker T, it wasn't pretty like that.
So you
some call, of them was.
So you call Booker T at the end of their glory.
Nah, Booker T has some bad ones. I don't get it fucked up. Every in the hood you got pretty bitches, but most of them just
pretty
got
girls,
some nice ass
pretty
bodies.
Girls, pretty women, pretty girls, pretty women. This is B-King, y'all. This
it sure B-King, is. You know, y'all know I don't give a fuck. B-K. No, but in my older age, I do give a fuck now. And I want to talk to the black women. I don't want you to think that just because you in the hood or your living situation or you may not have as much as the other people that affects your beauty or you look any less than the other ones. All I'm saying is just what I observed as a 17-year-old. I peeped that in the hood, you have females with gold teeth. You have females that was tatted the fuck up, all that hood-ass bitches. And that looked good to me, too. But when I went over here to Cy Falls in Jersey Village, they wasn't tatted up. They ain't had gold teeth. These bitches talked like white girls, and they was just as thick as the hood bitches. And I was just different. So let me rephrase that. They're not badder. They were different.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Let's talk about
mm-hmm.
one of your favorite words, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you reconcile loving using that word so much? I mean, that word is one of your favorite words. I mean, it has a dear place in your heart, a special place in your heart. How do you reconcile using that word and raising two daughters? What if?
Here go the question they love asking me.
Somebody
put a cucumber in your daughter mouth.
Your daughters are what, 9 and 10?
Well, they're 11, soon to be 11 and 12.
Okay, 11 and 12. Your daughters are 11 and 12. What if your daughter came home and said, Chance called me a B? What do you do?
It'd have to be a situation where, are you hanging around this nigga? Let's just be 100, because like, if a nigga just call you a bitch for no reason while you just eating in the cafeteria, I'm going to have to come to the school. But if you all in this nigga face and, you know, all on this nigga dick and shit, and he don't value women and you know this, and he call you a bitch.
We're talking about 11 and 12.
Man, hey, that's when it start going down in middle school, though. Shit, but at middle school, I went to black middle school, on the north side, man, it was bitches pregnant in that bitch, 13, 12. But anyway, it would have to be, I'd have to know what's going on behind it. Because if you all in this nigga face, you got to respect yourself. If this nigga calling all the girls around him bitches and you want to still hang around this nigga, you're going to be a bitch soon.
Okay, so let's
see, having B King as a daddy, you're going to look at the world a whole lot different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I put my daughters on. I talk to them like street niggas from a very young age. So nothing, they're not impressed by no nigga, none of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if your dad is B King, club guard, you're going to know what the fuck going on at a very young age. All these songs I made, they were there. They was hearing this shit.
I came to your house and they were like
there.
You holding one when making the beat. The little one.
That was Kayla. Sitting on my lap while I'm sitting there saying this. Bitch, suck my dick. You know, so when they get a little older, they you know, questions gonna be asked, and I have to explain to them.
I tell you what, though, you know, all BS aside, man, and just. Watching you interact with your daughter, both of them, mm-hmm. watching you just interact with them, let me know that you were at the very minimum a good dad.
Oh, no, for sure.
You know, that right there, I'm always impressed by good fathers. You know, like I'm always impressed by guys who spend time with their children, like quality time with their children. And you can tell the ones who really are into their children. Like
you know what's crazy?
You can tell that.
I feel like the best dads are the people who didn't have one.
Oftentimes they are.
Like, yeah, 9 times out of 10.
You want to be that guy.
Because I'm just like, I couldn't imagine not being in their lives. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, my dad, we got cool before he passed away, like in 03. But he wasn't there at all. I say probably my whole life, I probably seen this guy probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of my whole life, if you add up all the different time we saw each other.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't feeling that nigga like that. I ain't gonna lie. You know, but when I turned 18, he tried to come in my life more and talk to me, and I couldn't do nothing but respect that. You know, I ain't gonna be no hoe ass nigga. Nah, nigga, fuck you. Nah. You know, it was, you know, I let him try to, you know, and we got cool before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I couldn't put my daughters through that. And in this fucked up ass world we in now, man, you need some male figure to let you know what the fuck's going on, man. Like, cause it's rough out here. It was rough back in the day, but today, man, with them phones, man, you take a L, man. Back in the day, man, you can just switch schools. But today, man, it's on the internet, man. So you can't run from no L today. So you got to teach them values and things, you know what I'm saying? Just like, don't embarrass yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, just, you know, because if you embarrass yourself, I'm going to make a song about you like I don't even know you. And it's going to be on the radio. Your kids, your friends going to be TikToking to this shit, all that shit.
Okay, hypothetically speaking, your daughter comes home. She's, I don't know, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a guy right behind her. She says, Dad, this is my boyfriend. And you look the guy up and down. You know, he smell like weed. He tatted up. And his pants are hanging off his ass. And he tell you, what's up, nigga? How you... How do you respond to that?
This is,
you
know, my thing. I wouldn't even judge him from his pants hanging down or weed. I wouldn't even judge him from that. But what's up, nigga? Get the fuck out of my house. Nigga, what the? Nigga. But then, can't do that with women. Because they will rebel. They will go see this nigga and fuck him next week behind your back. So it's like you have to instill it in your daughters. Like, I am not... I can't sit here and say that my daughters are exempt from any of this. it can happen to any of us. You can be the best dad and it can still happen to you. All I know is that I did everything I could to instill, like, you hear my songs, so you know, in a way, what not to be like. Don't be like my lyrics, you know what I'm saying, in a fucked up ass way, you know what I'm saying, whatever I'm rapping about, don't do that shit, you know what I'm saying, like, it just, it is what it is, you know, but I never judge a young man for being young, you know what I'm saying, niggas gonna smoke, they gonna, you know, they gonna sag, they gonna do all that, hell, you 16, man, it is what it is what it is, but certain people, you know when they in them streets, though. You can look at some of them little niggas and be like, I mean, let me see this nigga Instagram. And he holding pistols in every picture. Nah, that's not no nigga you finna fuck with.
You have a humorous side of you, but you also have a serious side of you. Most people know the humorous side of you when you make from making the beats and stuff and just being this jolly guy, right? You know, just, you know, happy-go-lucky guy. How do you respond when people take you for a joke? Let's say somebody, let's say it's a situation, you know, where, you know, I don't know, you just, it's, you know, it's a serious situation, but somebody for sure. thinking that because of what they've heard you in the music, they thinking that, you know, on a personal side, that's who you are.
You know what? I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't have problems like that. I think for two reasons. Number one, when you see me in person, you see I'm 6'3", you be like, oh, man, I thought I could whoop that little jolly ass nigga. Man, oh, shit, man. I got to shoot him now, man. like the little jolly nigga I thought like that, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people, they don't play with me like that. Not saying I can't get played with, but I don't have those problems. And another thing, I don't carry myself like that.
Okay.
I don't wear the jewelry. I don't flash money like that. I don't, you know, so a lot of people, when they meet me, they see I'm a real ass person. I don't feel like I'm too big to talk to anybody. I have a conversation with anybody. I don't, most time I had problems with people, it was, they just wanted me to fuck with them. They just, man, B King, bro, we just want you to fuck with me. Just listen to my music, bro. Just, that's all I wanted, bro. I ain't had no issue. Like, you know, like it's, I don't have issues with nobody. You know what I'm saying? And this, I think it's because I know how to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? How to carry myself. You know?
And what is the best way for somebody to approach you who's trying to get you to listen to their music or listen to their song, their raps? What's the best way for them to get at you?
Hey, how about this? To anybody approaching any artist, just step outside of your own shoes for a little while and just put yourself in their position. If somebody is taking a shit, they don't want to have a conversation with nobody. That just happened to me 2 weeks ago. I was in a restaurant taking a shit. Dude came in there, B King. B King, I noticed you up in there, huh? I saw you walk up in there, bro. You know what I'm saying, man? I just want to let you know now, I really fuck with what you do for the city, dog. And I want you to fuck with my music. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just like, I'm taking shit. You know when somebody walk in the bathroom, you clutch your ass cheeks tight. You stop taking that shit because you don't want them to hear that. So I'm already sitting there trying not to let this shit out. This nigga talking to me. I'm just like, hey, this nigga just still. When the nigga started to rap, I say, my nigga. I say, I'm trying to take a shit, my nigga. All right, man. All right. And then he just walked out. And I'm just like, but I remember when I was a new artist, it was like 2009 or 10. I probably would have said something, made him want to do something when I kind of got out the stall or something. You know, so I'm growing too. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it come with it, man. You can't go to Walmart, man. You can't do normal shit. If you go to Walmart, you got to take pictures with damn near everybody in that hole. You got to, You know, shit, and you start going to Target because it's not as ratchet. And I go to Target, man, start going to some Whole Food grocery stores. What's the one, Aldi? How you say it? Whatever. But yeah, man, you know, but people, I'm a real approachable person, man. I'm not no asshole. I sit there and have a conversation. I ain't with that touching shit, though. You know, because that almost escalated, I say around January. I'm up in Walgreens, and a guy walked up on me. He was a fan. But he walked up to me, touching me. He put his arm around me. What's up, B King, nigga? I fuck with you, man. I said, nigga, get the fuck off me. And he's like, nigga, what the fuck you want to do? I say, nigga, I don't know you, nigga. You put your arm around me. He was like, shit, man, I fuck with your shit, though, man. I say, nigga, say that then. You can't just be touching people like that. So shit can escalate quick. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know how to talk to people and de-escalate situations, I know how to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Because miscommunication, it can go left quick, man. A lot of these people that don't like you, when they were getting dressed to go to the club, they was your fan, putting on their shirts and shit. They was your fan. They loved you. Until they walked up to you and said the wrong thing, and now they instantly want to kill you because you killed their whole perception of you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I try to stop that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to stop before we get there. You know what I'm saying? It's been times I've been to clubs and, you know what I'm saying, niggas, they mugging you and shit. And, you know what I'm saying, you get through doing your show because you in their city. They can get to you. You know what I'm saying? They get right past them security niggas and all that. What's up, BK? Nigga, I want you to fuck with my shit. I say, man, look, I'm going to be 100 with you. We in a club. It ain't nothing I can do. Anything you say that wasn't listening to their music, they ready to go left now because you fucked up the plan they had. They were going to rap to you and you were going to fuck with it and it was going to be like hustle and flow and shit. You know what I'm saying? But I had to get close to the nigga. I got real close to him, so you know I wasn't no bitch ass nigga. I said, hey, I'm going to be 100 with you, my nigga. You don't need to be rapping your shit to these rappers anyway. Me saying this ain't the right time, it's me saying it's not the right time because it ain't. You need to stop saying your shit to these rappers anyway, because you'll say your shit to these rappers and in 6 months you'll hear your shit on their shit. Stop rapping to these rappers in the club, my nigga. They gonna steal your shit.
How else?
He was like, nah, I respect it. I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Fucking with me and shit. I fuck with your shit. Charlotte, fuck with your shit. This was Charlotte.
For a guy who meets his idol in the club, who does what that idol does, if he raps, if he makes beats. Let's just say he raps and he has an opportunity to approach you. And what is the alternative if he can't walk up to you? Because a lot of rappers have heard rappers got on by walking up to Jay-Z or this person and spitting their bars. What is the best way for them if they can't get at you right then on the spot? What's the best way for them to get at you or anybody?
When rappers come up to me, I tell them 100% real nigga shit. It's nothing I can do for you right now. Now, if you want a picture or something, that's cool. But you spitting to me and all that, this ain't the 90s, bro. Yeah, ain't no guy in the back of the bar going to sign you to Cadillac Records and motherfucking like this ain't.
Now, if they want to get some production, that's different.
Nah, my thing is, if y'all want to get a feature or a beat or something, that's different. Take my number down. Right. Let's get it popping. But all that walking up thinking of that, I'm finna change your life tonight, like that, it's not possible. You know what I'm saying? Even if I like what you're gonna spit, what can I do right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be like, man, look, don't give your song to me. Give it to a DJ that can do something with it. That DJ right up there in that booth, take your song to him. You know what I'm saying? Take that song. Get all your little nieces and cousins and everything. Make all of them do TikToks to this song. a lot of niggas, they don't want to do the work. They just want the instant. You know what I'm saying? And anything that you tell them outside of instant, they take it as hating. You know?
The flip side of that is the women. What's the most memorable escalation that you've had with a woman in the club or just anywhere out in public? The escalation, you like, damn, that changed quick, or that happened.
The first thing came to my brain was 2012. My manager is my baby mama. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Tasha. You know what I'm saying? She's very club guard sensitive. Cause we have children together. We protect them and we protect the money. I trust her because she will not fuck over me because we got kids. We're going to get this money forever. You know what I'm saying? We got an understanding. We're not together. You know what I'm saying? But we have a respect for each other. You know what I'm saying? And in 2012, we were together, though. And I was in Onyx. This when Onyx was still in Dallas. And it was, I think it was either Super Bowl or All-Star or something. But Onyx was packed. And I guess this little bitch wasn't making no money in there. And she was mad. So she was just walking through the crowd of people, just pushing everybody and pushing them. And I had this Coca-Cola, because I don't drink. I had this Coca-Cola in my hand. And she shoved into me, and the shit just fell all over my damn outfit. I said, man, you need to watch where the fuck you going. Nigga, shut the fuck up. I ain't got to watch where the fuck I'm going. Nigga, that's my club. Nigga, fuck. She put her hand in my face. Before I could even retaliate, Tasha just threw her drink in the bitch face. Boof. And jumped on her and beat her ass. And I was just like, that was one of those situations. I was glad she was there, because it was like, I'm glad she was there to do something, because I couldn't. I'm a man. All I could do was yell louder and make me look lame. I'm giving this bitch attention and shit. But she beat the bitch ass. So that was a time in the club where it escalated with a woman.
Shouts out to Tasha.
Shout out to
Tasha. I do not condone violence, but I do condone self-defense and retaliation.
Let me give Tasha her flowers, though, because I don't do interviews. You Willie D, you hit me, so I did this.
And I appreciate
my, it. Yeah, my manager, Tasha, she don't get a lot of respect as she should. We came from the bottom with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Nobody gave us a template. Nobody sounded like me in 09. And we made it all the way to the top. I've watched her beat up promoters, DJs, strippers, and anybody that's played with this shit that we built. You know what I'm saying? She's a psycho bitch. You know what I'm saying? But she's one of the only women that I trust. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of artists don't get their managers. You know what I'm saying? Love and respect, man. They just, people think it's just the artists and all that. Contracts have to be read. Tasha's low-key a fucking lawyer. When I was finna sign the Columbia, you know what I'm saying? I had my lawyer looking over the contract, and I had Tasha looking over the contract. Tasha finished she finished the contract before the lawyer. And the lawyer was like, Tasha, you really should practice law, because you combed through that before and understood everything and brought points and things to me before I could finish it. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Tasha, man. Like, she's the best manager. You know what I'm saying? She was a rapper. She quit rapping to manage me. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Tasha.
Shout out to Tasha, and shout out to B for sure. King for joining the Ghetto Boys Reloaded podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's been a thrill, brother.
Hey.
It's been a thrill.
Hey, nothing but love on my end, man. You know what I'm saying? Big OG, triple OG salute to you, the Ghetto Boys, all that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what's crazy? I bet you probably even remember this. My first time ever meeting you, I think it's before you had went to jail, a little bit before that. We was in Kojak's studio.
Kojak,
yeah. Wow. Kojak, you had on like this white dress shirt or something.
I think. Were we at his studio, or was he at my, or were we at my studio?
Well, you know,
Kojak used to work out of my studio.
Maybe also. We was at yours. Yeah. I know he had this purple MPC 4000. And he was saying he had these drums from KLC. Shout out to KLC, Beats by the Pound. Mm-hmm. And I remember you were sitting on a couch. And that's the first time I ever saw you and met you. I know you probably don't remember that. But I don't know whose studio it was. But yeah.
Where was it at? You remember?
I can't remember exactly where it was. I know it was Kojak there.
Okay.
Kojak. Shout out to Kojak. My OG partner. There you know what I'm saying? On them beats.
One love going down memory lane on our way out of the door. No more talk.
This episode was produced by A-King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.